Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind-the-scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
Be bold. Why not? Season 3. Make your mark, lead with pride.
Arm yourself with courage. Stand out and rise above.
Be the leader that you can be.
Lead others with passion.
Join us as we chat with MJ. Be part of the conversation. Every Monday at 7 p.m. Central. Tuesday, 8 a.m. Philippines.
Ready for some real talk? Pink Table Talk is all about empowerment, entrepreneurship, and the vibrant stories that make the world go round. Don't miss out on the gems shared in this heart-to-heart session with Dr. Carly D. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time.
Attention, food lovers. Get ready for a brand new culinary adventure with the Commissary Kitchen.
Join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time or 9 a.m. in the Philippines for a live show that brings the best of the kitchen straight to your screen.
Presented by Lon Live Stream and Podcast and produced by Lon Media Network, we'll explore delicious recipes, share expert cooking tips, and bring you closer to the world of gourmet cuisine. The Commissary Kitchen, where every meal is an experience. See you there. Tune into Legal Treats with Attorney Eileen Ligot Dizon every Friday at 8 p.m. Central Time.
Get your weekly dose of legal insights about laws and legal matters, especially on divorce, estate planning, probate, and settling a deceased estate.
Engage in discussions by posting your questions, comments, greetings, or shoutouts.
See you every Friday at 8 p.m. Central Time. That would be Saturday at 9 a.m. Philippines. Don't miss out.
In a world cluttered with information, where truth is power, Law & Weekly News stands apart.
We delve deeper, uncover facts, and bring stories to light. From political showdowns and economic triumphs to the pulse of the street and the heart of the community.
We capture the moments that define us, stories that challenge, inspire, and transform.
Tune in live Sundays, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Are you ready for engaging conversations on education, teaching strategies, trends in the classroom?
Tune in to Teacher Talk, Live Chikahan, with your hosts, Teacher Cora and Dr. Claire.
In each episode, we'll dive into meaningful discussions, share insights, and connect with fellow educators.
Don't miss out on the fun and camaraderie. Grab your coffee and join us for some lively Chikahan. Every Saturday, 9 a.m. Central Time. 10 p.m. Philippines.
Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community, from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawn Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawn Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The content provided in this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Lawn Media Network does not guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the information.
Good evening, everybody, and you're watching Lawin Media Network Live, either through our YouTube channel or our Facebook Live page. And welcome to episode 8 of Pink Table Talk. Tonight, we have a very, very juicy topic with one of my favorite speakers, with Christina Stuller. We're going to be discussing love, addiction, and codependency. As you can see, I'm wearing my red and I got my heart necklace on tonight because I'm ready to dive into this very hot, hot topic. So I'm going to introduce my guest. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Christina Stuller, she is a certified life coach, writer, speaker, and owner of Tranquil Balance Life Coaching based in Jacksonville, Florida. She has a specialization in narcissistic relationships, integrated attachment theories, and codependency. Christina offers remote coaching sessions designed to guide clients toward healing and empowerment. As a survivor of an abusive relationship herself, and she is currently living with stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer, Christina brings a profound depth of empathy and resilience to her coaching practice. Her personal journey fuels her passion for helping others navigate their own challenges and discovering their inner strength. With a strong background in facilitating support groups, Christina is also a dedicated facilitator for the Circles app. And she is the creator of the blog Healing But Dealing, which provides insightful content on overcoming adversity. You can also book an appointment for her transformative coaching through sessions at healingmyfeeling.com. In addition to coaching, Christina writes for Newsbreak. She writes about relationships, sharing valuable insights and practical advice with a wide audience. Her solutions-based approach, combined with the witty and engaging writing style, captivates readers and encourages positive change. Whether through one-on-one coaching, group facilitation, or written content, Christina is committed to helping individuals build healthier relationships, develop self-awareness, and achieve lasting personal growth. So I'm very excited to welcome Christina Stuller to the show. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, Dr. Carly. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm so happy to have you on my show. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. So thank you again.
No, thank you for having me. Honestly, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've been part of your groups and I have to say, I absolutely love them. You give people the hard, honest truth. And you give such great resources and you give such great feedback on issues and things that they may be going through. So I'm just so delighted to have you to be able to share with our audience some of that expertise. For our audience that's watching live, can you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I also ended up in a codependent relationship and it became abusive. It was a time where I did not think I was ever going to get out. I will be honest, I was guilty for at once in the past saying, well, why don't you just leave? And then I realized it's not that easy to leave. So it was a group of like my community of finding others to where I realized I wasn't alone. That was the motivator in order for me to get into life coaching and other things like that. So to know where it comes from and to have been a part of it and know how to get out of it, I just feel that it's just been really wonderful to help others in order to reclaim their lives again, because it just feels like it's never ending. So,
Yes, it's so true, you know, and I feel that it's so relevant for today. I feel that we as a society, we're becoming more aware of our issues, you know, we're becoming more aware of our problems. And, you know, attachment is a big thing too. I've been hearing a lot about attachment, and you've discussed attachment and those different theories and styles so well when I've listened in on your groups and things like that. So I wanted to definitely get into that a little later. Can you tell us a little bit about your business, Tranquil Life Coaching?
Yeah, so Tranquil Balance started actually after the motivation of somebody else who encouraged me in order to do life coaching. I worked with a life coach myself. I found it to have a better outcome due to the fact that it was somebody that really walked the steps, you know, along with me, as opposed to just kind of saying, well, you should do this, when I'm already struggling with feeling bad and unsure of myself. So it was a nice transition. I really do appreciate everything that she ever did for me. And so that encouraged me in order to do it myself. And I kind of use those same modalities to help others, because it's a time where, you know, you're too ashamed or guilty or afraid to ever say anything. Yeah. And even talk about friends and family. And there's no reason to be, because once you feel like you're the only person who this has never experienced it, like, you know, and nobody will also understand. And then when you find out there's a whole group of others, it's always share it, always tell it, always help others, because sometimes you will come across somebody that was too afraid to mention it. So it's definitely been an amazing journey for that part. And I appreciate everybody that helped me along the way in order to help me to get where I am. So really, if it weren't for them, I don't believe I would be here.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's really great. And you have quite the impressive educational background. Can you tell our audience a little bit about your educational history?
So where do I begin? I have a bachelor's in science and child psychology. I have a master's in divinity. I have a certification in integrated attachment theories. I have certifications for like Reiki, reflexology, energy healing, you name it, any type of holistic modality. I just kind of went towards that. And it was the need to understand better, and what better way to understand than to get certifications or the degrees or anything else for that. So it's kind of just been a lifelong seeking type of thing. And yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
On and on and on.
You know, that's what my friends and family, they're always making fun of me. They're like, you're back in school, you're getting another certification, you're doing something else. So I join you in that, being a lifelong learner, you know. So that's so wonderful. It's really great. And then for my next question is, what is the main characteristics, and can you talk to us about codependency? What is codependency?
Sure. So codependency is what I describe it as, basically where you don't know where you end and the next person begins. It can also be, you know, labeled as other terms, but I just use it as codependency for that. But it's a form of enmeshment, and we just kind of dive into the other. But then what happens is we're sacrificing ourselves and our own needs in order to help the other person. But we're not necessarily helping, we're actually enabling. And it's in terms of where we forget about our own needs, and we go for the people pleasing. It makes us feel good. But then what happens is we're pouring so much into other people that we're not receiving it in return. And then we feel nobody's there for us, nobody loves us, nobody cares. And it's all these inner core wounds and all these other, you know, negative self-talk that we give ourselves, which it's absolutely normal. I never want to shame anyone for that, but it's really not the case. And it generally does stem from growing up in an environment of like an addiction, like addicted parents, or, you know, yeah. So it can come from that. It can also just be, you know, parents that are not consistent. So there's a lot of things that do like build up towards that. But growing up, we just feel that we're always there, and we're always giving, and we're always kind. But then eventually we start to lose our own boundaries. And that's really the foundation of it, is that we have a lack of boundaries. And there's nothing wrong with that, because how is it that, you know, you could be upset if you didn't know? I don't know any parent that ever raised their children about boundaries and this and that. And they're like, go out and here you go, you know, do this. But you know, it starts at a young age with gaslighting when you fall off a bicycle and your knee hurts and your parents say, well, that didn't hurt. And then it starts with having to go to like a family member where it's like, just go play with them, go play with them. So really you're already kind of conditioned to not have those choices that you have as an adult. And so sometimes we can have that misprogramming or the misinformation of thinking, well, I don't have a choice in this. I'll just do it for them. And we kind of just keep giving ourselves, and then we're kind of on empty.
Wow.
So that's how I describe it. I just think it's the easiest way and the most, you know, relatable way. But yeah. it has a lot to it.
Wow. Interesting. And you mentioned boundaries. Can you talk to our audience about what boundaries are? I don't think a lot of people actually know what a healthy boundary is or what that sounds like.
No, that's the boundary. No is the answer. So it's okay to say no.
It's a complete sentence.
It is a complete sentence. And the one way that you can tell if somebody doesn't exactly understand boundaries or have boundaries is if you can say no, they go, but why? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, no is the answer, and it has nothing to do. You should never feel bad about saying no. It's putting yourself first. And it's one thing if it's constantly dismissing others, but there is a reciprocity that kind of happens from that. And so it's okay to say no when, you know, when it's a boundary as opposed to a rule controls other people. And I don't like to use the word control, but a boundary controls you. So if something is non-negotiable, it's not about the other person. You can remove yourself from it because it's going to affect the way that your integrity, the way that you function as a person isn't non-negotiable. So that's actually a real solid boundary as opposed to, you know, formulating a rule for other people.
Wow. Wow. See, that's really profound there. You know, I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, what it is. I feel like a lot of people like to make rules, you know, you got to do this, you got to be this way. To be with me, but people don't understand it. It's more about healthy, you know, just saying no, you know, so that you're kind of protecting yourself. So I like that. That's really great. A lot of people often confuse codependency, the kind we're talking about, with people being someone who's always has to go somewhere with somebody. They don't like to be alone. They want to, oh, I'm going to the store. I have to have somebody with me. Or I'm going to go out. I want to go out to this party, but I'm not going to go by myself. Can you talk to us about the differences, if there are any, and how it is different?
Yeah, I think that wanting to be with somebody is actually healthy because, you know, we want to be inclusive. We want to, you know, have other people around us, things like that. But it gets to the point if we can't be alone with ourselves, if we don't like, if we cannot keep ourselves company, if we don't feel comfortable, things of that nature. That's kind of a reason why, because, you know, if you can't enjoy your own company, if you can't be your own best friend, then why is that? And that's something to always do a deep dive in. But hanging out with somebody, you know, having a best friend, things like that, that's healthy. But in terms of, you know, sacrificing yourself to do everything for that person and then not, you know, not being happy, yearning for things like that, then there's the unhealthy dynamic of it. But it's okay to still hang out with somebody and have a best friend and, you know, go to a party and do things like that, because that's still like being social and it's still having somebody with you. But with codependency, it's more or less like nobody will like me if I don't do this. Or we say, well, if I do this, then they, you know, then they'll be happy. They'll love me. They'll, you know, they'll be there for me. And it's things like, it's just a whole sacrificing aspect of it. So that's when we feel empty, is when we know that maybe we kind of were codependent. And so it happens.
Wow.
I see there's nothing wrong with being codependent though, because I just say that really it just means you love hard. And what's wrong with loving? But sometimes we love too much and we can end up loving the wrong people. And that's the downhill of it. But it means lack of boundaries. If someone tells me they're codependent, they've automatically just now told me that they have bendable yet breakable boundaries. And, you know, that, you know, low self-esteem is associated with that. But that's to me, and I don't believe that fully, because somebody can have low self-esteem, but somebody can just have, you know, maybe low self-esteem, but in terms of doubt, like self-doubt.
So, yes. Wow. Oh, this is such a great topic. Oh, it's getting juicy and hot in here today. We're going to continue with this conversation after our break. So stay tuned, everybody. Everybody, welcome back to Pink Table Talk. Tonight we're talking about love addiction and codependency with our special guest, Christina Stuller. This show is available on Law and Media Network Live, either through our YouTube, Facebook page, or we're also available on podcasts through Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google. We're on 15 different platforms. All right. So we're going to continue our conversation tonight. Christina just talked to us about what codependency is and the differences between being codependent and then being social and like wanting to have a buddy or somebody with you when you go out or go places. So my next question for you, Christina, is what is love addiction and how is that related to codependency?
So love addiction is basically a new term. I want to say it's probably been around for about 10 years or so, and some people are not familiar with it. I define it, and this is just the way that I do, I define it as kind of like the deeper, the darker side of codependency. Mm-hmm. So it's in terms of where like love becomes an obsession and things like that. And it's not saying that everything is going to be like a true crime scene or anything. It's just that we don't realize, like we start fantasizing, we start thinking about like our lives with this person, and then we kind of like drift away from our own reality and our own self, you know, being. It's the contributing factor though is generally with codependency because of that low self-esteem. And it does also go into where we sacrifice ourselves for other people. It's much darker than that, but I, you know, maybe dark isn't even the right term to use, but it just goes deeper than that. So I will be honest, I always say I did not know I was codependent until I was codependent. And then I was very, you know, very well versed on reactive abuse. And that generally turned into a form of love addiction because it got to the point of this isn't going to, you know what I mean? It was like, I had to be with this person. And the way that I share my story from back then is way different than I share it now. And it just shows how much growth has really come from it, because before there was a lot of emotion to it. And I really did think that I would never be able to survive without this person, and that this person could not survive without me. And you give up friends, family, careers, you lose a lot. So there was definitely a lot of loss, a lot of healing, and a lot of like rebuilding back up. But there's absolutely nothing, you know, as long as you realize that something is not right and it's not based on everything, but sometimes it's the people. But we do have to accept accountability as opposed to responsibility, because there are two people in the relationship. And then sometimes I did realize that I now am figuring putting the pieces together that I am a common denominator in a lot of issues. And I just didn't realize until I actually ended up in one particular relationship, because it was, I never had, you know, relationships where it was, you know, me sacrificing and giving, and I never had that. And then I suffered from a lot of trauma and ended up just right in that, ran into the arms of one. And it was about 8 years before I could get out. So it definitely is something that takes over in a way. But it goes by almost like societal standards in a term, because we believe in love at first sight. We watch a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, that doesn't exist. So we kind of have this like self-fulfilling prophecy in a way of how love should be. So then like we'll reenact it, and it's just not, it's not there. So, yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny because I had never even thought of that term until I saw, I think you had a room a few months back. And I was like, you know, this makes a lot of sense. You know, especially I had been in a lot of the support groups and even looking back at my own relationships. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense that we can actually be addicted to love. You know, that feeling of being in love and being with somebody and always wanting to be around them. And, you know, and it's so easy to get sucked in, you know, like you were talking about, and to kind of go too deep, you know, and I can definitely relate to that. You know, I've seen myself there sometimes where I'm like, oh, I want to see what they're doing. I want to be with them all the time. And, you know, you start forgetting about everything else, you know, and
absolutely.
You just,
it feels good. It feels good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You get addicted to the, you know, the high, what is it? The, I don't know what's the love hormone, oxytocin, and you know,
and it is almost like the love bomb. I always joke around, I say the love bombing and the courting, those are like the best, you know, like, of course. And then that's when we feel that that's what it is all the time. And so we become almost angry and resentful and we'll act out. And it's just things when really it's our own personal needs not being met. And I honestly thought, I'll be honest, needs were food, clothing, and shelter. And they are, it goes way, way deeper into that. You know, just things that we will and will not put up with, and back to the boundaries, you know,
yes.
I didn't have the boundaries that I thought I had. So.
Yes, that's so true. And I see how it ties back into, you know, having that lack of boundaries, you know, like you said, that enmeshment. So that love addiction codependency, the person, they don't see themselves as separate. They kind of see themselves as one in that relationship, you know, like they're one, you know, they're one person. So, wow, very profound. My next question for you is, what are some of the attachment styles that are associated with love addiction and codependency?
So there's four attachment styles. The names have updated a little bit, but I just go by, you know, secure, anxious, preoccupied, fearful, avoidant, and then dismissive, avoidant. So I would say that the codependency aspect is mainly towards the fearful. Actually, let's say all three of them, aside from the secure, even secure could kind of form into that in some shape or form. But in all actuality, the fearful, avoidant is very lucky. They get both of them. They can lean towards anxious, preoccupied, and they can lean towards dismissive, avoidant. And so it's the fear of abandonment. So basically, we're born with an innate fear of abandonment, you know, because we have to survive on our caregivers, or we rely on our caregivers for survival. But then that can grow. And really, an attachment style doesn't necessarily come about until you become attached to somebody. And so it's not something that you'll know of where you're at until you're in a relationship and that attachment really grows. So I found out that definitely I was fearful avoidant and no longer fearful avoidant, but it was, you know, the fear of abandonment. And I was very hot and cold because it was these inner core wounds of saying, you know, well, you're just going to leave anyways. And I'm difficult to date. And it's all these things that, you know, they are negative self-talk words, but it's how we feel. But we don't ever really have the information to back it up. And then when we look at our past and see, well, our caregivers left, you know, like parents, this and that. And it's this trend that we begin to think it's us. And really, everything that happened to us was never because of us, not once.
Oh, that's so wonderful. You know, and I think just for people to hear that, it's going to be so healing. I think oftentimes we do blame ourselves if someone has, you know, abandoned or left us. And it's interesting you bring it back to the parents. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how our childhood or how our parents were, how that affects how we are in relationships?
Absolutely. Well, you think about it, they were our role models. So when we're born, we're kind of, you know, in this hypnotic, you know, state of mind to where we're just absorbing everything that we see. And then as we get older, it's a form of conditioning because we are praised by when we did well through the opinions and eyes of another person. And then we were disciplined in the opinions and eyes of another person. So now we're conditioned. And as you know, then we start to meet other people and they're different than us. And we actually don't even really know anything was wrong with our childhood until somebody told us it was wrong, or until we kind of started to meet other people and we felt something wasn't right and things were different. And it just kind of, we now began to form our own opinions and started to do deep dives and things. But it was just bad role models. You know, I definitely came from a family of I was single mother, single parent household. My mother did struggle with addiction. But she was an amazing mom. And so for me, I always had this idea of what an addict was, which was not at all what my mom was. It was very hidden. It was very good. And then I was 14 and it wasn't hidden anymore. And so that's when I really started to see everything that was happening. And I thought it was my responsibility to take care of her, which then led me to take care of everybody else around me, especially those that you know, weren't doing so well with their lives. But we begin to think that we don't have a choice, and we do. But we also think that other people don't have choices. So we just want to help. It's a caretaker role, which is actually not even caretaking. It becomes enabling. And it just stems from me. So, yeah. But, you know, the role models, things like that, addiction, the fear of abandonment, not having a parent that, you know, stability. It's all about stability. And so if one parent is always gone and we feel they don't have enough time for us growing up, well, then we believe that nobody has enough time for us growing up. So it just becomes this inner core wound and kind of grows and blossoms from it. But did the best they could with what they had. And I really do like to say that, because, you know, we have to remember that they were also raised by a set of parents. And that's really how generational traumas and things go about. And it's, we didn't know. And so, but once we do learn and we do know, then what we do with that information is really the most important, because we can't change the past. We can't fix it. But I personally believe that there's no mistakes. If you've learned something from it, it's a lesson. And that's the best thing you can have. And then that way you learn and you grow and you move into a different direction. And so it's just baby steps.
Wow, that's awesome. And thank you so much for sharing that, especially about your mother and your relationship with her. You know, I think it's very important for people to kind of understand that, you know, it's not, like you said, it's not necessarily a bad thing to want to take care of people, but sometimes we can go a little too far when it comes to that. And we're constantly trying to take care of everybody, you know, including our partners. And then that's where it can become a little bit unhealthy. You know, it's one thing if you're a mom and you're taking care of your children, but I've had that issue too, where, you know, my father, he took care of everybody. You know, he was a counselor for addicted patients. So he always was taking care of them. They can knock on the door at 2 a.m. He would let them in and talk to them and have a session, you know? So I learned then, oh yeah, you can't say no, you gotta talk and take care of everybody. You know, so I think there, you know, like you said, our parents kind of role model for us how we are eventually going to treat other people and be in relationships. So that was just very, very interesting. And that was a really good deep dive there. So right now we're going to go ahead. We're going to take our second break of the evening. And when we get back, we're going to continue on this topic with Christina Steller. Thank you, everybody, for watching tonight. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Pink Table Talk. Tonight, we are with Christina Stuller talking about love addiction and codependency. So, Christina, we have a lot of singles out there. We have a lot of people who are looking for love, whether they're looking for love in all the wrong places or, you know, looking online. What is your advice for those out there that are looking for love? How can they develop healthy attachments and have healthy relationships?
Know who you are as a person. Know your boundaries. Do not feel bad for things that you want in your life. Never settle. A lot of us tend to settle, especially influences by other people. I was told that my list was impossible, that nobody would ever measured up to that. And then I believed them. And then I started to kind of cut things off and just know what you want and, you know, be healthy, but also be, you know, giving, kind, find that balance. If you have that feeling in your stomach, intuition, I'm sorry, is never wrong. If something isn't right, you know, just try to kind of question, but if never overlook things that, you know, like we always get benefit of the doubt, but if it doesn't line up with your integrity, with your values, with your needs, who you are as a person, there's nothing wrong with you. Just be sure to, you know, be able to remove yourself safely and things like that. But I love love. You know, I do. I'm not even going to lie. I really do.
I know.
But it's in terms of finding a healthy person as well.
Yes. That's very nice. You know, because right now, like we're about to come into the holidays. As my friends say, it's cuffing season coming up. Everybody wants to be in matching pajamas by Christmas. So they start throwing those lists out the window. You know, people are like, oh, forget this. I want to have, you know, the photo ops and, you know, all that stuff. Somebody to cuddle with during the winter. But what are some healthy traits somebody should be looking for in a relationship?
So when somebody is truly secure, they don't play games. And if we are the type of person that says, you know, go, and then when the person listens to what we said and they go, we're like, but wait, where are you going? Come back, come back. Yeah. That shows where we're unhealthy in a way, because a secure person, they're not going to play games, but they're not rude about it. They're not mean about it. It's just in terms of, you know, this is not working out. And it just, you know, it separates amicably. It's really healthy. But sometimes we feel you're not going to leave. You're not, you know, and so that it can bring up old feelings in us. And that kind of shows. And I'll be honest, I never want to point out to being a problem, but I really was in my relationships, and it was because my needs were not being met. So my body was like basically giving me this alarm clock, but what was I doing? I was pointing the finger outwards, and then I eventually pointed the finger inwards, and it really helped me out a lot. So it was terms of a lot of honesty, a lot of growth, a lot of things like that, and being truly honest on my own behaviors as opposed to recognizing my environment and things that were happening. So, you know, for myself, it's you're just open and honest, but there's a difference between being assertive and then attacking somebody. And that's the hard part. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's so wonderful. That's really great. We have a comment in our audience here. This is from Eileen Ligo Dizon. She says, good evening, Dr. Carly and Christina. This topic is very important and I appreciate both of you. Thank you so much, Eileen, for watching us live. And to the audience, be sure to watch us live. Put in your comments or questions. If you have any questions for Christina or I, we'd love to hear from you guys. I think it's so important what you said, Christina, you know, that looking at ourselves, you know, you have to have that introspection, you know, and you can't just point the finger at the other person. I've heard so many times, and I've been the shoulder for a lot of my girlfriends who crying and saying, oh, that guy, you know, he did me dirty. He did this, he did. And it's like, okay, but this is number five now. This is guy number five now, you know? How many times are you going to keep coming to me crying and it's the same story, you know? So I think it's so important that we look at ourselves and we start to look at our own habits and our own behavior and our own attachment styles, you know? For me, that was so helpful when I heard that. Because for so long, I was like, oh, it's the other person, you know, they're terrible, you know. And then I was like, wait a second, but the common denominator is me. So let me try to see, what am I doing wrong? You know, what is going on with me? And it was just so helpful because I started to recognize, oh, okay, maybe I am being a little codependent, or maybe I was being toxic in a certain area, or depending too much on them to fulfill my needs. You know, I think oftentimes we get in relationships thinking, okay, go ahead, fill me up now. You're going to do everything for me. You know, you're going to make me feel great about myself. but it's not that way, you know, and I'd especially learn from you is you have to meet your own needs. You know, you have to fulfill yourself and be happy and healthy before even trying to get into a relationship or be with somebody else. So I really appreciate that. And thank you for that. Oh, thank you. My next question for you is, like I said, there's a lot of singles out there, people who are out there looking for love. What are some resources or some advice that you can give to them so they can find out what's their attachment style, you know, things that can be helpful for them before they jump into the next relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. You can play around online and just do like free attachment style quizzes or whatnot. They're pretty spot on. There's a few resources out there, but it's not that anything is wrong with anyone. If somebody reads dismissive, I feel that they're like, no, that's not me. That's everybody else. But the biggest key step is that personal moral inventory, because it's not always about what's happened to us, but it is about what we've done to other people based on what has happened to us. And if we are afraid of connections, we're going to repel connections. It's very hot and cold. It's a dynamic. Wow. But to have a really healthy relationship, don't be afraid. Remove those inner core wounds of feeling unloved, not good enough, things like that. Because to be quite honest, you are the most unique individual ever, because there's only one of you. So it should be a privilege to get to know you and to know everything about you. And that is a privilege that everybody should really understand. Because, you know, there's only one. There's nobody else. So I think that that's really special.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you, Christina, for that. I think it's important for people to know that they are unique and that they are wonderful and special. I think that's really beautiful. My next question is, are there certain attachment styles that seem to be drawn to each other? I feel that happens a lot.
So they can all kind of find one another. Generally, a lot of us will find somebody that is secure, and then we feel that we are not worthy enough or good enough. But there is the possibility of fearful avoidance, finding dismissives. It's almost in a correlation of, let's say, how a narcissist would find a codependent, which I really like to use that word lightly, but also how an addict will find a martyr. So it's always going to be this polarity, and it's generally we find something that we see in somebody else that we don't have ourselves. And so it's this admiration, and sometimes it really is a form of mirroring, but we can find all different types and all be connected. So it's not necessarily just set for dismissives. We'll only find FAs or fearful avoidance. And then, so it's never like that, but it really is more common that we can find somebody that's secure, and then we can, you know, kind of throw the wrench in it in a way. And so that's our own insecurities, but there's nothing wrong. It's a learning experience. So it's all about growing from it.
Wow. Interesting. That's so good. And what about, are people able to change their attachment styles?
Yeah, they change actually a lot throughout your life. So you could be secure at one part and then get into a new relationship and become anxious or avoidant or dismissive. And what happens is that all these inner core wounds and childhood experiences and things like that come back up. So it really is a partnership as to something that is like triggering or having us revisit something. And it really is in whichever it may have been, codependency, which not, that wasn't addressed because we didn't know. We didn't have the tools or the steps. But it always does kind of go back, and it will bring it back up. And in a way, like, we don't know why, But there's no such thing really as chemistry. It's familiarity. And that's the other thing, because our subconscious will find comfort and safety and security, because it's, you know, it's our mind, it's repetition plus emotion, and it's the images and what we hear over and over again, what we see over and over again. We start to program ourselves in that way. But sometimes we can find comfort in the chaos. And so that's why it's a big eye opener to really understand what our role is in it, because it's not always just everybody else, even though it feels good to blame, but it's, we have to kind of look inside as well.
Yes. And that's so true. And, you know, like I said, when I started looking at myself, the accountability that I took was, well, I'm choosing people with these red flags that I'm noticing and I'm ignoring the red flags, you know? And so it's not always that we might find something is inherently wrong with us, but we're choosing to overlook certain things. Like, we might see that in the first couple of days of knowing somebody, we're like, oh, that's a red flag. And then what's the saying? We paint them orange or we paint them green. We're like, oh, nope. I didn't see that. And, you know, and that's where we have to take our accountability. You know, we have to say, you know what? He or she was kind of toxic when I first met them. I did notice that, you know, they told me they had, you know, multiple women or men or whatever. And we overlooked that. So taking that accountability for our part, it helps us to break that cycle. You know, I feel oftentimes people who are codependent or possibly love addicts, they get stuck, you know, they get stuck in this cycle, and they go from relationship to relationship, repeating the same pattern.
Absolutely. And it's really good to ask yourself, what is it about this person? And they can be the most unhealthy person that fulfills the most amount of your needs. And there's a reason for that. And it's generally companionship, longing, feeling appreciated, needed, wanted, things like that. When really everything that a person can do, we should be able to do for ourselves. You should truly be able to be your own best friend. And getting out of this relationship, I really had no idea anything about myself when I knew everything about myself prior, but it just strips away. And then you really start to see what's happening. Once you identify the patterns, that's really when you know that the veil's been lifted and you're good to go, because now you start doing the work because you want to get out of that cycle. And it's a drive. It's definitely a drive. So, and support and community. And, you know, I always say hope is a double-edged sword, but when you truly have faith that you do not deserve this, faith is a big old leap and it'll take you anywhere. So.
Yes, that's so wonderful. And, before we go on our next break, I know you're a big fan of journaling. And so when we come back, I want you to talk to our audience about journaling and some good journaling resources and how that helps people to develop, you know, that self-awareness, that sense of self. So stay tuned, everybody, and we'll be back with Christina Stuller after this break.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we have our very hot topic on love addiction and codependency with the amazing Christina Stuller. Before we went on break, we started to talk about journaling and how that can be a tool for people who may suffer from or who live with codependency or love addiction. So Christina, can you give us your insight on that?
Journaling is my favorite thing. I'm so happy you brought that up. It's a blueprint to your life. It really is. So I realized I wrote myself the apology I was never going to get. I kept wanting to chase this person for this apology. And when I wrote a letter, as if I were that person, wrote it to myself, it was truly the most healing experience of my life, because all deep down inside I wanted to do was just to be validated and acknowledged. And even though I knew what I did, it was in the way of how I wish that person would have said it to me. And so writing the apology I was never going to get really helped. Writing letters that you're never going to send just to get it off and like out of your system. And you realize that that's all that it was. And once you reread it, it's like you can see the anger, you can see the pain, but it truly is a blueprint, because you write about where you've been, where you are, and where you want to go. And we show ourselves more compassion when we're writing to ourselves, as opposed to when we're in our mind, because our thoughts are like a never ending, you know, road. So it's just going to keep circling and ruminating, and it's going to be never ending. But when you put that pen to paper, you would actually be really surprised on what the answer was or what the statement was that you wrote. So it doesn't always have to be like, dear diary, today. It can really be letter writing. It can just be writing like random things of like what happened, just to clear your mind. A lot of different approaches for it. You can even do like vision boards. Vision boards are actually a form of journaling, but really it's a great tool. It's a great outlet, and it's just good to really see what it is that you wanted in your life. And when you go back and you read it, and I don't suggest reading it right away, but when you do go back and you visit it, a different mindset, a different feeling. And sometimes going even through my own, the handwriting's all different. I can't even make it out. And I'm like, wow, I was really angry. It's good to get it out. It's good to get it out. So I think journaling is key. There's different types of journals. You can have a dream journal, a gratitude journal. And gratitude journals were very hard for me, because I was wanting to go deeper than talking about being thankful and grateful for the people I have, the things like roof over my head, food in my stomach, things like that. Yeah. And it was the people in my life. So when I started to talk about the people that helped me get to where I am, that really was very healing. But, you know, gratitude journals, dream journals, even just like wellness journals, like, you know, scaling your day on what you did for others, but most importantly, what you did for yourself. And I think that that's something good to really reflect on, because if you ever ask yourself at the end of the day, well, what did I give or do for other people? You'll have a huge long list. Well, what did I do and give for myself? You know, it's kind of empty. So it's just something to really think about. And I think journaling brings that out.
Wow. You know, I didn't realize that like vision boards were journaling, you know, I've done vision boards before, you know, especially like beginning of the year, it's like, okay, these are my goals for the year. But you know, I think, I was talking with you in one of your groups and you mentioned the angry letter journaling. And for me, that was just so, impactful, you know, because, I had all these like, feelings and emotions on the inside, and, I couldn't talk to the person, you know, there's some legal things there and I couldn't talk to them. So I was like, how can I get all of this out? You know? And you were like, well, write a letter, but you don't send it. And I was like, wait a second, what? You mean they're not going to see this? They're not going to know how mad I am? but no, it was just so therapeutic for me. And it was just so healthy, because I'm usually kind of a quiet person. So you won't really know I'm mad until it's like, you know, the it's been a while. So for me, writing, I've always been good at writing out my feelings, writing out my thoughts, you know, I mean, that's why my manuscript was 125 pages, you know, I'm a good writer. So for me, writing those angry letters, it took it all out, You know, it took all of that emotion, all of those feelings out, and in a healthy way. You know, I never sent them or else I'll probably be in trouble. but, you know, it was just so therapeutic for me to finally kind of get those thoughts out and be like, wow, look at that. You know, look at what I was feeling. And then months later, I kind of read those letters and I said, boy, I've grown from here. I don't feel those same emotions. I don't have those same feelings anymore. It was such a weight lifted off of my shoulders, and just to get it out, to have that release. Because you're not going to always have the opportunity to have those conversations with these people, especially if they're the type of people that don't listen or take accountability for their behavior. So for me, it was just so, so impactful and so therapeutic. And it helped me to put it to rest, you know, and I think that was the biggest thing I got from that was I wrote it out and I was done with it. You know, and I was able to move forward. So I thank you for that and for, you know, bringing that up. So before we end out for the evening, it's been wonderful. I would love to keep going on and on. I can go on. how can our audience reach out to you? How can they get more resources or some one-on-one coaching so you can help them work through their either codependency issues, relationship issues, or just some life coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can go on the website, which is healingmyfeelings.com. They can book an appointment. I also write for Newsbreak, things like, and that's under Healing But Dealing. And just certain things like that. But send me an email at info@healingmyfeelings.com and I can give more resources, information. I would like to say that there are millions of books out there that really do focus on any issues that we face. Sometimes we can write our own story and it's more healing and probably guide us in a much better way. But it is nice to know that we're not the only ones. Yeah. Journaling is that story, and journaling really will see your growth, where you've been, where you want to go, who you are as a person, and then you start to build up and realize you really love that person that you are. So it's good, but anyone can send me an email or reach out on the website, and all the info is on there as well.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And I know that you do host some groups. You have groups for love addiction, codependency, and I think you have a new topic you said for tonight.
Yep, that's going to be on attachment styles. So it's Introduction to Attachment Styles. It's on an app called Circles, and you can check out their website on circlesup.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Such great resources, such great advice, and such great insight that you've been able to give to our audience today. One last thing before you go. Our advice, again, like I said, to those singles, and what should be their first step on finding themselves, loving themselves, so they can get into a healthy relationship?
Love yourself in the best way possible. Be your own best friend. Have hobbies. Like who you are before bringing somebody else in, because there's nobody out there that's going to be able to fix or change or anything like that. But to grow with somebody, to bring out the best in one another, that's what the end goal and end result is. But there's always somebody out there for everybody. And just know that you deserve the best of what it is that you want, and go out there and get it. So sky's the limit. I always say sky's the limit. And sometimes we got to kiss a lot of frogs to get to our prince. So, you know.
And believe me, there's more frogs than princes out there.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Just don't end up with warts. You know, that's what my mother always said. It's like, don't end up with warts though. So, you know, so that's our advice to you singles out there. Love yourself, journal, get healthy, learn your attachment style, figure that out. There's lots of quizzes and resources online, or also email Christina at info@healingmyfeelings.com. or visit her website for some one-on-one coaching, or go to one of her fabulous support groups. And I thank you so much, Christina, for joining us today. This was just such a wonderful discussion and such a great resource of information and insight for our audience. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. So everybody, continue to tune in to Pink Table Talk every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time or 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We still have four more episodes left for this season, and we're going to continue to bring you great topics, great speakers. So listen in each night live so you can answer, ask questions, excuse me, and so we can answer it for you and or just make your comments. Thank you all for joining us tonight, and I hope to see you all next week. Bye, everybody.